It's Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. And now, some feedback from our listeners. We love hearing from you, and today we're starting something new, a Friday segment in which we read from your emails, Facebook posts, tweets, and occasionally call you up to hear what you're thinking. Our Public Insight editor, Lee Hill, is in charge of this project, which doesn't have a name yet. More on that a little later. Hi, Lee.
Hey, Ryan.
We're starting this segment because we're hearing from more and more listeners. What have people been reacting to recently?
Well, it's been almost 6 months since the Waldo Canyon fire blazed through the west side of Colorado Springs, and that destroyed more than 300 homes. And since then, we've had conversations with Janet Wilson. She's one of the people who lost her home, and we caught up with her again this week. She moved into a new home just recently, and shortly after the story, we heard from Christina Hobbes in Denver. She wrote, "It was a more than gentle reminder that life is precious, and so are friends."
What else have we heard?
Well, our coverage of marijuana, whether on Colorado Matters, Morning Edition, or All Things Considered, has really piqued listeners' interest. And this week, of course, Colorado made history when Governor Hickenlooper officially legalized recreational use by adding Amendment 64 to the Constitution.
And we talk with the governor once a month.
Yes, and listener Kirk Peffers of Denver was not happy about your last interview. He says you didn't ask the governor about what Peffer sees as a conflict between the governor's history as a brewpub owner and his opposition to Amendment 64.
The elephant in the room was hypocrisy, and you didn't even acknowledge its existence. The governor, long a purveyor of alcohol, expressed a disjointed concern over the wider availability of a less harmful substance, marijuana, which would be subject to more restrictions than his alcohol.
Well, it's true that I didn't ask that question in our last interview, but we did address that very question in a conversation with Mr. Hickenlooper before the amendment passed, and the governor responded by expressing concern for kids.
If you're going to take something that's presently illegal and legalize it, you're sending a message to kids that this is okay.
This does have an age restriction, let's just say.
But again, the message is there's an age restriction, but the very fact you're legalizing it is sending an implicit message to kids that it's okay.
We're still getting lots of questions from listeners about legalization, and we'll be answering those in our reports and continuing to discuss those issues with the governor. If the new law is on your mind, share your thoughts with us by joining our Public Insight Network at our website, cpr.org.
Speaking of that, Lee, what is the latest question brewing in Penn?
Well, as we know, 2012 is drawing to an end, and we're asking people to share with us their best of, that is, the best thing to happen in their lives this year. And we're also asking listeners to tell us about a Colorado Matters interview that really struck them. The responses are already coming in, and it's interesting to read personal stories that reflect bigger trends in Colorado. Like this comment on the economy from listener Jesus Gonzalez from Westminster. He owns a company that paints houses.
I opened my business in 2009. It's been slowly growing. We've got a five-man crew going right now. What's been different in 2012, before we would be working maybe 32-hour weeks, there's always been a day where we wouldn't have any work. Now it's to the point where we almost have to work overtime.
That must be a real relief for him. Lee, one other thing we want to do with this feedback segment is update stories that we've covered on the show.
That's right, and we have a couple of updates for today. The first about a livestock hauler in southern Colorado. He bought more than 1,700 wild Mustangs from the Bureau of Land Management and is suspected of selling them for slaughter.
Right, and reporter Dave Phillips of the Colorado Springs Gazette investigated the BLM's wild horse program and focused on this livestock hauler, Tom Davis. Last month, Phillips told us that Davis had admitted to illegally shipping some of the horses he'd purchased out of Colorado. Here's a snippet of that conversation.
I wanted to know, who is this guy? And went down and talked to him. It turns out he's a longtime proponent of the slaughter industry who told me there's no better eating than a fat yearling colt.
That story got even more interesting when news broke that U.S. Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar had threatened to punch Dave Phillips for asking questions about the wild horse program. Salazar is a neighbor of Tom Davis, and we should say that he wrote Phillips a letter of apology afterwards.
And this week, Salazar said he wants to lessen the likelihood that wild horses could be sold to slaughterhouses. He announced plans to limit the number of wild horses one person can buy, and he promised to prosecute anyone who sells them for slaughter.
News this week also on the music scene, some recognition for singer Nick Jurata, founder of the Denver band Devotchka, who's been a guest on this show several times. This week, Film Music Magazine named his score for the movie Ruby Sparks one of the best scores of 2012. Last thing, this Friday Letters segment, as we mentioned, doesn't have a name.
No, and it seemed fitting to ask our listeners for ideas. Some of the names we've thought of so far, Feedback Fridays, and then there's the Bullhorn. Ryan, you came up with that one.
I really like the Bullhorn, but we are happy to ask you. And so what we'd like you to do is to like us on Facebook, look for CPR News. And then see today's post with the words, help, we need a name.
And add your suggestions to the list. We'll comb through them next Friday. And who knows, we might choose your suggestion.
Well, Lee, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.